Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around. Welcome back to Hacks and Hobbies. This is part two of our deep conversation with Dr. Deborah Heiser, applied development psychologist, author of The Mentorship Edge, and founder of The Mentor Project. In part one, we talked about redefining midlife, unlocking purpose, and how mentorship can reshape our identity and impact. Today, we're going even deeper into the power of legacy, neuroscience of aging, and why storytelling might just be the most important leadership tool of all. So if you're someone asking, what's next for me? Or how can I make the years ahead the most meaningful yet? You're in the right place. Dr. Deborah, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm so delighted to be here.
Absolutely. We had such fun experience in the last episode. I learned so much and even came to the realization that I am in my midlife. You know, we all see from a totally different perspective, but when we realize that we are in this situation ourselves, it just opens our eyes in so many more ways.
One of I'm glad you got to see that you're in midlife. That's And I have a feeling others are going to say, what? I'm in midlife. I didn't know it.
Exactly. Now, one of your areas of expertise is applied developmental psychology. Can you walk us through what actually happens to our brains and sense of self as we age?
Sure. I'll give you a little bit of a breakdown on what our lives look like in a couple of different ways. When we think of our lives, most of us think of it as a physical life. And that's where we have an inverted V, a steep incline, and then a slow, steady decline. And that's what scares most of us. And we say, ooh, you know, midlife and older, I'm not interested in being on that decline slope. But what we do have is, you know, our cognition kind of, it goes up and then it kind of plateaus and remains the same, but we have skills that allow us to operate much more quickly than one would expect. So you may be having some kind of a little bit of a decline, like I'm in my 50s, so I don't remember words or names as quickly as I used to, but I have all kinds of coping skills to get around that. And you know what? It does not hold me back from doing things. So our cognition is pretty good. The thing that most people don't talk about or think about, though, is our emotional trajectory. And developmentally, that starts at the exact same place as it does physically when we're learning to walk, and cognitively that we're learning, you know, how to talk and speak and communicate. Well, our emotions are also developing. So think about how when you're little, when you're two, you might throw yourself on the floor if you're having a bad time with something or not getting what you want. We don't do that when we're older. And that's because we learned coping skills and our emotions for learning frustration tolerance and all other things and how to get along with others develops. So our emotional trajectory goes up and it never declines. It does not decline. It only goes. So you can expect to be happier when you're older than when you're younger. So I always tell my students, you're 20, you can outrun me, but I'm happier than you. And that's really how we can look at life, is that when we have children, we don't say, oh, I hope my brand new baby can run fast. We say, oh, I hope my baby has a happy life. Mm-hmm. And we can say we should expect that as we get older and not focus as much on the physical trajectory.
You know, you're so right in so many ways, because as we... You're so right in so many ways, because as we age, we have much more better coping mechanisms, right? We think in a totally different aspect, because you have all this life experience to look back at that we didn't have when we were growing up. And we maybe are afraid of less things or afraid of different things as opposed to when we're growing, when we're younger. Now, is there a biological shift that explains why purpose becomes more important as we get older?
It's an emotional one. So yes, we have a developmental trajectory that we go through stages just like we do physically, right? So yes, there is a stage that we go through that makes us want purpose. And that is that we go through the stages where we have to trust people. Then we have to learn, who am I? Then we have to say, ooh, now can I find someone that I can have an intimate relationship with? That's where we slough off all of those, you know, superficial friends. And we have a tighter, closer group of fewer people, but those that we really can count on. And then we move into a place where we say, I'd like to have some purpose. Do I matter? And that's because we've already sort of figured out what our expertise is. We've been going through life. We've been going through all these milestones that are both physical, cognitive, and emotional. And now we hit the stage where we say, all right, I've checked all those boxes that, you know, my mom and grandma and everybody else said I had to do. Yeah. And now here I am. Now what? And this is the stage where people are like, oh, now what? Because we have a map that's set out for us that's socially what we're kind of supposed to do. Once we hit midlife, it's up to us now to decide, what are we going to do? And that can be jarring for people. So developmentally, though, that is a stage that we're supposed to get to. And that's, I think of it as a fun stage, because you finally get to do what you want. Those boxes are set by us, not by other people. But that is an actual developmental milestone.
Man, I love that, because it opens up our minds even more. Like, hey, what you're thinking about is a mindset that you need to probably let go of and embrace where we are today, because there's so many more people that you hear about on the news passing away at 55, at 65, like Steve Jobs, he passed away at 55. There's Michael Jackson around the same age. And it's a blessing to be here and be able to impact other people's lives. And as we get older, how can someone start to shift their mindset around aging from fear to empowerment? And I'm sure you've got a ton of stories in your book as well, The Mentorship Project.
Yeah. In the Mentorship Edge, there is a lot about that. It's how we are. Mentorship is a part of leaving your legacy. It's taking your expertise and passing it on. So it is in there. But what I want to say is that, you know, think about your younger life. It's scary in the sense that you have to see if you can please others by checking the boxes that are in front of us. The fear that is in midlife is that we have to think of the new boxes that we want. They're not presented to us. So it isn't, am I going to fail at a box that's presented to me? Am I going to not go to college? Am I not going to buy a house? Am I not going to, all these different things. Now it's, do I want to live my life without trying something new or impacting in some way? It would be, do I want to try podcasting? That's scary to me. I might feel like an imposter. I might feel like I'm being entitled. Why should I put my voice out there? This is what we face in midlife, is we're putting boxes out there and saying, am I going to leap forward and do something that makes me feel uncomfortable, where I don't know what could come out in the end? And that's both exciting, but it also gives us that same sense that we have when we're younger, that, I feel a little bit of anxiety here because it's new. Can I accomplish it?
That's so insightful. Aging is not a decline. It's more like an evolution. And what we do with that evolution, and that's where legacy comes in. Thank you so much. All right. Your move to the next segment on storytelling. And it's funny, like the more people that I meet that are in their midlife, they tell such great stories. I'm like, wow, every single time I talk to this person, it's a beautiful story that they're telling. And you're a powerful advocate for storytelling in mentorship and leadership. Why does storytelling matter so much, especially in midlife?
Oh my gosh. Well, we've developed our stories by midlife. You know, if you're saying, I want to get a story from a three-year-old, that's going to be a very limited story. By the time you've hit midlife, you've lived. But think about the time. We know what has been passed down for centuries. That's stories. you may read it in whatever format you read it in. It's also passed down through song, which is also another form of storytelling. It's the most powerful way that we can pass on our knowledge, our wisdom, our skills, our values, our culture is through storytelling and song, which is, you know, obviously a form of storytelling. And so without that, why have a podcast? Why have a blog? Why have any television show? Why have anything? All of these things around us are storytelling. Social media is storytelling. Even if it's in a snippet of 15 seconds, it is the most powerful way that we can communicate our authenticity, our values, our culture, our skills, and it makes it digestible and memorable when it's in a story. Nobody likes to be given like cards of memorization for something. Mm-hmm. We want to hear how it works in the real world.
You're absolutely right in that. And it opens up this question for me, you know, there's a ton of people that are telling stories that are not helping them evolve. And there's a ton of people that are telling stories that are helping them evolve. So what stories do we need to retire? And what new ones do we need to author? Because we are evolving and we are moving in that forward direction of growth.
Any story that is stuck in the past and hasn't had a resolution, retire it. Look forward. That's where we are making the great stories that can last and continue on. If you're stuck in a loop where you are in a story that you're telling that is one where you have not processed something, or there's something there that you are not getting through, that you haven't gotten through, retire it. Process it by yourself, get through it, but do not make that your story that you carry forward. I tell people a lot of times there's a red flag that I can hear when somebody, you can reflect, we should all reflect. We should remember our stories and have those to tell others. But when we are just reliving a trauma over and over again, that's not the story that we want to carry forward. We want to carry something forward that somebody can latch onto and make the next step forward with, that they can make that wheel keep turning with.
I love that. Retire the stories that are not, they don't have a resolution, and create stories that are moving forward. Now, how can leaders use storytelling to inspire teams and build cultures of mentorship? Because yes, we know corporate has taken ownership of the word mentorship and whatnot, but how can leaders that are in these corporations use storytelling to not only inspire teams, but build cultures of ongoing mentorship as well?
I'll give you an example. It's from the book, but people can use storytelling to model good communication and behavior. So it's a form of mentorship. So LaTanya Kilpatrick, who is with Colgate-Palmolive in their research division, she's a global tech director. You know, she's somebody who is really high up in the organization, and people would think, well, it's hard to communicate with somebody at that level. But LaTanya had a problem in her division. They were trying to make progress in an area of oral health. And LaTanya is somebody who goes out and always, she's known for this. She'll meet people and she listens, and she's really a good person to connect with and communicate with. She's never above everybody else. So she went to a conference and she was chatting with someone who worked in a dog food division. And people might say, I'm not going to talk with somebody that I don't think would have any relevance to my job or moving it forward. I'm going to only try to talk to people that could further me in some kind of a way. Well, LaTanya and this other woman got into this discussion. Months and months later, LaTanya said, I wonder if that person that I spoke with at the conference might have some insight from studying, you know, gut biomes in dogs. Maybe there's a piece of that could move to human oral health. She contacted the person, and she was the key that unlocked this big new movement and made this oral health campaign that they were working on move forward. Now, that in itself is mentorship. That's a story that gets told in the book, but it's also a story that people tell amongst themselves. It has a memorable ring to it. Oral health and dog food, like those two don't go together, but they do. The main thing is that LaTanya connected with someone and valued meeting somebody who did not have any way of impacting her job at the time, but later did. And that was a lateral mentor to her later on. And those stories and companies are the ones that fuel people at different levels to engage in that same kind of communication with others.
Wow, that's such a powerful story. I mean, they're both work in the same company. They're like, hey, we're in the same company. We're at this conference. Let's just have a chat. Who knows where it might go? Not even thinking of that, but the leadership quality that she displayed was to be open and listen to what this person was working on. And that makes me think, you know, some of the best mentors in my life were just incredible at holding space, listening, and then sharing those real moments of adversity or whatever they had to go through. They didn't lecture, right? They just led through story, and that was just so amazing.
Yeah, that's I learned and I'm mentored by LaTanya, even though she may say, I don't have conversations with you regularly. I watch what she does and I hear the stories she tells. She's the one that told me that story, not thinking I was going to tell it to others.
Yeah.
But just to, it was an interesting story for her to tell me, like, oh, who would have thought that? And so if we can get out of our own way, we all have really great stories like that.
I love that. Let's talk about legacy, not in the what you leave behind sense, but in the how you live today sense.
So this is where I have been really interested lately, is looking at our impact. Most of us don't realize how much we're making an impact. We don't realize that we do things every day that make the world different based on our interactions. So an example of that is, you know, people don't realize that if they've mentored somebody, where does it go? What happens with that? And this is not for after we're gone. This is how do we know this happens now? And another example in the book is the Nobel Prize winner, Bob Lefkowitz, was like, gee, I wonder how I became a Nobel Prize winner. Let me look at that. So he made what was called, he dubbed the name, the legacy tree. And he mapped it out to see where he became a mentor, you know, how he got mentored to get where he was. He wasn't thinking of those he mentored, but he added a couple of mentees that he knew about to it. Then he went, he published it in a peer-reviewed journal, as like, I guess anybody that's a Nobel Prize winner would do. And he went to a conference and somebody came up to him and he said, Bob, I'm 6 degrees Lefkowitz. And Bob said, what are you talking about? And he said, well, there's 5 people who work between you and me. And Bob said, what are you working on? And Bob was absolutely floored. He said, it was so impactful to hear that this person was saying the same words that Bob had spoken and working in the same thing, but it had been 6 degrees away from where he started with it. And he said it was as impactful as the birth of his children to know that he had that impact in the world. Now, impact for us, we often leave that off. We go and we do these things and we never know what impact we make. And that's so important. Like you are podcasting, your impact, you could just affect one person. Where does that ripple go? Mm-hmm. Now, if you look and you see, oh, I have 10,000 people that listen to my podcast, that's 10,000 ripples out there. Wow. If you're a blogger and people, 10,000 people read your blog, well, what do you think that ripple is? So we don't stop and ever think of that impact. And that is legacy at that very moment. You do not have to wait to die or say, I hope I have a great legacy when I die, not knowing what it might be. I wonder what they're going to write on my tombstone.
Yeah.
You get to write that right now. And by doing that, and so I'm forming a new company that looks at quantifying our impact so that we can all know our mentorship, volunteering and philanthropy that we engage in, so that we don't get that we don't lose that feeling of legacy while we're engaged in it.
Wow, what a way to share what it means to live your legacy. I love it. Thank you so much, Dr. Deborah. Now, for someone listening today who wants to begin mentoring but feels unsure, what's the first step that they need to take?
Look to your left and look to your right. You're looking at someone you can mentor. every single person around you has a different skill set than you. They're either going to be able to help you, just like the person who's in the dog food division helped LaTanya, or you're going to be able to help them. And it may be people think, well, I have to give somebody a specific piece of knowledge or specific skill.
Yeah.
No, you can be imparting a value you have to somebody else, to your left or to your right. Or it could be somebody below, right? It could be a niece or a nephew or a grandchild, whoever that may be. It could be that anybody in your realm. But remember that your expertise is not necessarily a skill. It is something that is really important to you that you can give to somebody else. And you have enough people right in your vicinity that is around you in your own household, in your community, or in your wider network, if you're doing something that is on social media or that's podcasting or blogging, know that those are all the areas. So you do not need to have a degree. And the other thing is, start to ask for the quantification of your impact. Ask people, has there been any impact that I've made? You could do this in a podcast. Say, hey, leave me a message. Has there been anything that's resonated with you? You could say this in a blog. You could put this out in social media. Is there anything that resonates? And then you'll get to know what your impact is.
I love it, Deborah. This has been an absolutely transformative conversation. I feel like this isn't just about mentorship. It's about living intentionally, aging powerfully, and leading with heart. Thank you so much for your time. This has been absolutely amazing.
Thank you for having me. It's always amazing talking with you.
Absolutely. Now, for our audience, if you're ready to step into your next season with clarity and impact, I highly recommend The Mentorship Edge and checking out The Mentor Project. And please share some final thoughts, and then we'll be sure to include the links to connect with you in the show notes anyways.
My final thoughts are that I hope that everyone realizes that your values, your culture, your skill set that you have developed over the years are necessary and needed by someone else. So I hope that you will take the time to connect with someone. There is no connection that is too small or insignificant, because you're going to change that person's life in ways that you don't even know, and be carried on in a little way in them forever. So that makes you a little bit more immortal.
Oh my God, I love that so much. Thank you so much, Dr. Deborah. And for those listening, tuning in, you can always go to hacksandhobbies.com, click on the little orange button, and leave a message on how you felt this episode treated you and cared for you, or the changes that it's going to bring for you, and so that we can share with the audience in the next episode. Thank you so much again, Dr. Deborah.
Thank you.
Your story matters. Your voice counts. Thanks for tuning in to this two-part series with Dr. Deborah Heiser. If this sparks something in you, an idea, a new story, or a desire to mentor, don't keep it to yourself. Screenshot this episode, tag us on Instagram or LinkedIn, and let us know, what's your mentorship story? What legacy are you building today? And as always, subscribe so you don't miss our next guest on Hacks and Hobbies, where we turn passion into purpose and hobbies into legacy.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode on Hacks and Hobbies. We absolutely appreciate your contribution. You can find additional notes on hacksandhobbies.com. Please share the podcast with your friends and tell them what you learned about our guest today.